Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the last session of our Far Corners weekend. Before I get started, I want to tell you how grateful I am that you all came. The questions were just amazing. That's worth its weight in gold, just to see the thinking that went into them. I've talked to Scott later, and he was worn out, and so was I. That was not a easy things to think about. I also can't tell you how grateful I am for the guys that and gal, Amy, that are on our board that do so much work. They really love this. They're so excited about the fact you're coming as our guests. And they can hardly wait and hope that they just go, oh, I hope it's perfect for them. So there's no, you don't have to push anybody. Come on, we got to get this done. They're all ahead of me in figuring out how to make this as much fun as possible. And it shows. You can just feel that things have been thought about ahead of time. And so you can understand why I just love all of them. And we have board meetings every so often over at my house, and they just are fun. We hate to see them end. We get pizza delivered in, and we sit and we talk and figure out what would be fun for next year. So I think that's the way everything in life should be done. Fun. Let's get together and have fun. I don't know why. I mean, just watching Chuck. Think about it. He was having fun giving a spiritual lecture to freshmen in college. That's not a fun thing. I'd love to send one of you in there. I think if we did the close-up, we'd see a lot of sweat coming down your brow as no one was listening to you. Oh. So let's see if we look back over what we've been trying to capture here. I think we started out with the two bookends, step one and step 12, total surrender and awakening, and saw how essential they were. It's a cyclical thing. You can't have one without the other. They go together. They're just, it's total failure is the predecessor of awakening, because the ego doesn't give up unless there's an emergency. Total surrender is not an intellectual exercise. It's an event. And it's an event that we can be very grateful for. That for some unknown reason, we were chosen to be smashed down further than we may have otherwise gone, which caused the opening of our mind towards surrender, which seemed like the end of everything. The end. So the end has to come before the beginning can start. And we're just seeing this whole cyclical thing. That is the way the universe is. Birth and death, surrender, awakening, up and down, in and out. It's amazing. So we saw that. And then we went back and take a look at our big book at phrases that we've seen for many years. And maybe they look different now. Maybe way back in the beginning of the big book, the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered our hearts and lives in a way that is indeed miraculous. At one time, for all of us, that was very interesting. I wonder what it is. The absolute certainty that our Creator has entered our hearts and lives in a way that is indeed miraculous. Now we look at it and go, yeah. There is that absolute certainty. that my Creator is inside of me and lives in there in a way that is indeed miraculous. We've had a glimpse of the ultimate kingdom. We're walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. Those were all words at one time, and they slowly became a reality. I can feel walking hand in hand. And when we drew near, he disclosed himself to us. So that happens from seeking. We see the importance of seeking. Seek, 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 and all of a sudden, you did a good job. Here I am. And he reveals himself to us. And it's a very personal experience. And it's worth continuing until it happens. I watched Mike with the holograms. And at one point, he told me, I guess I'm going to have to go back to Alaska without seeing it. And he kept trying and trying because he didn't want to go back to Alaska. And all of a sudden, bingo. And then he went around and saw three others. And he was very excited and happy, as he well should be. It was revealed to him, not as fast as somebody else. But when it was, we knew it was real, even though it wasn't there before. It suddenly was there for me. And the guy next to me, it's still not there. But I'm praying that he sees it too, because there's no competition. That's there for everybody. Just if two people see it, it doesn't mean it goes away and nobody else can see it. So it's not a competitive thing. I got mine. Infinite supply. Infinite Father, infinite children, infinite journey. Just on and on. And so we tried to tell a story of the journey from the material to the spiritual. And we all say those words, but perhaps we don't have a picture of them that you may have now. When the 10th step says we've entered the world of the Spirit, and in our early sobriety, if someone said, well, what is the world of the Spirit? Our real answer would be, I don't know. Even though we're saying it, I don't know. I guess it's this ethereal place where spirits hang out. And they're just up there going, hi, 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 hi. Nice here in the world of the Spirit. Great. I love it in here. It's a great spot. It's a great spot. But we're not quite sure what it might look like. What would the world of the Spirit look like? So then we come here and we see that we are going to make this journey from the material to the spiritual. So in order to understand that, we have to go, what is the material? What is the material world versus the spiritual world? And if we go back to the analogy of the traffic accident, so 20 eyewitnesses, and we realize there's 20 views of the accident, we come to the conclusion there's no such thing as the material world. If there's 8 billion people on the planet, there's 8 billion material worlds. There is no the material world. So that means that each material world was constructed by the individual, by thinking, by taking the world that God created and commenting on it. That's what we do. We comment on the world. There shouldn't be fill in the blanks, war. There shouldn't be glaciers. There shouldn't be poverty. It shouldn't be so hot. It should be fairer. It should be. And pretty soon the commentary that we made on the original world becomes the world. It starts out much like a spider getting ready to make a web with one strand. Doesn't look like much, does it? Hey, pal, what's that supposed to do? Oh, I'm not through yet. I'm going to make another strand over here, and then I'm going to make another strand. Now, for us, the analogy is one comment, one judgment, one resentment about the original world. And slowly, since each thought creates a thread, we go one, two, three. Just think how many millions of thoughts, comments, judgments we've made about the world that God created. Pretty soon, if we're a spider, you can't see light through the web. You can't see any light whatsoever. We just keep going. Only we make a three-dimensional web so that no matter which way we turn, we see what we put together with our thoughts. And you might make the analogy to an egg. We created our own egg that we're inside of. So everywhere we look to see what's going on and report on the material world, it's all going on in our egg. Oh, look at that. Look at that. That's awesome. Look at that. And so I asked you next to me, I said, don't you think this is a mess? Now, he put together a different egg. He goes, no, it looks good to me. Well, how could you think it looks good and I think it looks bad? He's not looking at the same thing I am. And that's where we are. And as far as we're concerned, that's the real world. That's the material world that we created. Each one of us lives in a different material world, so when it says we're going to make the journey from the material world to the spiritual world, it's from your material world, my material world, Scott's material world, and we're going to now try to go to the spiritual world, the world of the spirit. I wonder where that is. Maybe we got to poke a hole in the egg, like an awakening. Poke, poke. But the egg doesn't like to be poked. That's the ego. And it knows if we poke and get out there far enough, we're going to want to throw this away. We're going to want to destroy it, crush it. The idea that somehow we can drink like normal people has to be smashed, crushed. So the journey from the material world to the spiritual world is a journey out of the egg that we made back into the world that God created. It's right here. We don't go anywhere. We just return from the story that we made back to what was here before we started making up a story. And that's my picture of the journey from the material world to the spiritual world. So when it says we've entered the world of the spirit, picture, I poked my head through this freaking mess I made, took a look around and went, yo! I listened to various spiritual teachers and stuff, and when they, three of them made the same comment, that as the full awakening just came over them, guess what they said? They said, I can't believe I forgot this. I can't believe I forgot this, which is God's world. I just forgot it. So you can see we're not going to learn anything. We're just going to return to what we already knew before we improved on God's world. You see what I'm saying? We just looked around, saw a bunch of stuff that needed fixing, and we started fixing it with thoughts. Think about it, think about it, think about it, think about it. And this whole journey involves not thinking, letting go. Letting go of weaving. Stop making those threads. Stop being like a spider and go, wait a minute, I can close this up tighter. Now you can't even get a glimpse outside of this thing that I created. So how often do we say he lives in his own little world? Everybody does. Now, you may say, well, why are we so stupid to do that? And I'll get to that in a different story. But there's a reason behind it. I think it makes a lot of sense. It's a prodigal son thing. It is all part of cyclical nature of things. We go out, we come back. And it makes everything make sense. And so anyway, that's what I think that journey from the material world to the spiritual world looks like to me. That's what it looks like today. Now, maybe 10 years from now, I'll go, don't use that story. Here's a better one. I don't know. Or maybe I'll hear one from Scott, and I'll go, I'm stealing that, Scott, and I'm not even going to give you credit. That's me. And I think I touched on this earlier, which was the movie they made about the greatest story ever told. And we got to realize that that was a movie about a story, the greatest story. It could be about any spiritual journey, the greatest story ever told. And the point I wanted to make about that story was it didn't look so great halfway through. It looked like the story of the world's biggest loser, a dropout, couldn't even get a job, still living with his mother. I mean, the whole thing, if you looked at that, said, this is going nowhere. And then people are following him. Are you guys crazy? You follow what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, whew, reborn. And we took a look at everything. And we said, oh, my God. Oh, my God. So the point of that story is to say that all great stories look like they're going nowhere in order for the turnaround to take place that makes it great. Wouldn't be great if you just stayed up here. What's so great? Well, I've been happy all my life, and I'm still happy. Let's make a Hollywood movie out of that. We got to get them down in jail and then back. We can't have them just stay happy. There's no story there. There's no lesson. That is the way life works. Cyclical. Happy, unhappy. You follow what I'm saying? And so I would submit to you all that the greatest story you'll ever see is your own. Your job is to just watch it like it was a movie. Holy cow. Look where they got the hero now. In a straitjacket. I wonder how God gets me out of this. Do you see what I'm saying? You're just the actor. The story is taking place through you. You think you're the author. I used this story last night. I introduced our speakers as dancers from the Argentine. And the reason I did it was so that today we could say that what you saw last night, you saw the dance, not the dancers. The dance was coming through them from somewhere else. You saw God, Jack Cordoning, and you saw God, Steve Abraming. That's what you saw. That's what we are. We're God's story being told through us. And it's going to be told the way he wants it. It's going to follow the journey that he wants. So what role do I play? Well, the role we used to play was to comment on it. This is a sick story. I'm involved in a tragedy. I mean, this is us. So we have a separate story going on. It's like talking in the theater, commenting on the plot so that everybody around us can hear us. What a lousy movie. I wonder who directed this. I never did like her. This is a shame she's in this movie. And you never see the movie. And we do that with our own life. And like it's going to change anything. And so when we unweave our story and just come back to be an observer, which is what being is, there's nothing to do but be. There's nothing to know. There's nothing to learn. You don't have to learn much to watch a movie. You just watch. You don't have to teach anybody. Okay, now look at the screen. I think that comes naturally. Not many people walk in the movie and face away from the screen until they're trained to look at the screen. So that's what I'm trying to establish about our journey. And I mentioned earlier the cyclical thing. I just want to talk about that some more because it's so essential to see. A lot of meditation will have us focus on our breath, because breath is sort of the essence of life. Breath is the essence of life. I mean, that's one way of looking at it. And so if we looked at a breath, we could, for story purposes, say that the breathing in is the birth of a breath, and breathing out is the death of a breath. Very short lifespan. You know what I mean? And so if I'm inside and here comes a breath in, I would go, "Hey, how you doing? Good to have you in here. Oh, you got to go? Yeah, I got to go. Okay, goodbye. Hey, hi, come on in. Glad to see you. Oh, you got to go?" In and out. The birth of a breath and then the death of a breath. Now, the funny thing is, if you play mind games with that like I do, I think I'll watch these breaths live and die. Hi, welcome, goodbye, welcome, hi, hi. And then I really get into it. The death is much more pleasant than the birth. As a matter of fact, I wish I could keep exhaling forever. It doesn't take any effort. You know what I mean? I wish I could keep pushing my lungs so that it would just keep going. Because the more I push it in that direction, the more I know there's something wonderful there, and I wish I could keep breathing out forever. Which tells me something very attractive about death. Beyond that breathing in and out is something even bigger. And there's that cyclical. I wonder how many times the moon has gone around planet Earth in 4 billion years. That's a lot of times around. Look at that, a full moon. Full moon, full moon, full moon, full moon. God damn, that's been going on a long time. Maybe that just goes on, probably looks like it's going to go on forever. You see what I mean? Around and around, just like clockwork. Tides go in, tides go out. You can see it everywhere. Crops get planted. Now they grow. Now they're harvested. Now they grow. Now they're harvested. So if we're happy, that's wonderful. Enjoy it. Now comes the sad part of the movie. Oh, good. Here's the sad part. We know the sad part's going to end, so let's just enjoy the sad part. Okay, here comes the happy part. Okay, here comes the sick part. Oh, sick, sick, sick. Okay, here's the sick part. Okay, here comes the return to health part. Oh, boy, here comes this. Here comes that. We don't have to react to anything. You know what I mean? We don't have to go, "Oh, my God, I've done 50 years of this." That's what we react to, a cycle that's going on. We go, here's the cycle, and we go, "Oh, it's going to stay in a straight line now for 50 years. It's not going to continue the cycle. It's been going on forever." So along those lines, I'm going to tell you a story, and it's actually a combination of two stories that you already know, and I've called the story The Prodigal Adam. We already know the two stories. In this story, Adam's the only person involved in the story of Eden. And Adam likes it there. And he says, "This is cool here. Everything is provided for him. He is in absolute contact with his creator. Everything is beautiful. There's no pain involved. It's just wonderful. He's been there for eons. Just simply enjoying everything that's there." and other spirits that are there talk with great gratitude, the way we've been talking about this weekend. Isn't it wonderful? Aren't we fun to be together? We're doing, yes, yes, yes. And a snake came up to him one day and said, "How you doing, Adam?" He said, "Good. Nice here, isn't it?" "Yeah, yeah, I love it here." Some of the other people were complaining that you can't eat apples here. I think they're way out of line myself. I think it's fine that you can't eat the apple. I think it's, why is that important? Right, Adam? It's silly to be focused on apples when there's everything other than the apple. There's heaven here. And he slithers away. And Adam says, "You know, he's got a point." He makes a point. He makes a damn good point. The more I think about this, it's a freaking outrage you can't eat an apple. What sort of an insult is that? Why would a loving God torture someone with that? Why would he? What kind of a place is this where you can't eat apples? Jesus, this is awful. Now I look out at the view and I go, there's a view with no apples. There's this relationship with my higher power being ruined by his meanness in not letting me have an apple. You know what? I've had it. I'm taking an apple and I'm getting out of here. And he takes the apple. Takes a big bite. Go, man, these are good. And says to all the other spirits, "You ought to try this, man. I'm going to go make a much better world than this. I can do a much better job. Everybody's going to have apples. Apple a day keeps the doctor away. Apples, apples, apples. You're the apple of my eye. Apple pie. Love apple pie. Got to have apple pie. Do you like apple pie a la mode? I love apple pie a la mode. Isn't it great to be in a world where apples are everywhere and you can have all the apples you want? Yes, sir. I'm doing a much better job than that place. This is Eden Plus. That's what we're going to have down here. I'm going to create Eden Plus. And he starts out to create his version of the jackpot. And he's got a plan, a blueprint. Go to college, study this. Oh, boy, look at this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Apples all the way. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a plan. He's lying in a straitjacket one day. And on the bedside table is a bowl of apples. Which, unfortunately, he can't reach. He says, "Well, maybe this world's unfair, too." And he reconsiders. And he goes, "I guess I can't. I don't think I can make anything. Ugh. I wonder if I could possibly swallow my pride and go back and see if they'll take me in again. This is a major problem." But the desperate nature finally gets him, hat in hand, head bowed, beaten, dragging his sorry butt back to the gate. Ding, ding, ding. "Who is it?" "It's Adam. What do you want?" "Can I come back?" Boom! "Yeah! Come on in!" And they take him back. And they celebrate it. And he looks around, and it's 10 times better than he remembered. He's 10 times happier than he ever was before he left. He is so grateful they took him back. And he starts talking to people. He says, it's just amazing how much happier I am. And they tell him, yeah, that was the point of the whole trip. That's why there's 9,000 people over there in line waiting to go to Earth. So they can be 10 times happier than they were. That wasn't a wasted journey, Adam. That was part of the plan. That was part of the plan. It's the only way to make it even better. So he's talking with some of his buddies, and he said, have you been? Yeah, that's how it works. It's really amazing. By the way, while you were gone, they switched from apples to bananas.
Really?
Why'd they do that? Well, the Apple lobby said, you've banned us for about a billion years. How about picking on somebody? Oh, he says, God, those lobbies. And he starts laughing. And he goes back to all his familiar haunts. And indeed, every one is 10 times better. The place where you can see black holes is just more brilliant. There's a part of the universe where it's all indigo, his favorite color. And he can just watch planets made out of indigo, stars made out of indigo, just the color indigo doing dances. His happiness is beyond measure. And he enjoys this for 10 or 15,000 years. And he says to himself, it just doesn't get any better than this. It just doesn't get any better than this. And then he says, bananas? Why did they switch to bananas? I can't eat apples anymore with my dentures, but bananas are perfect. Do you suppose they saw me coming back and said, let's switch to bananas to get him? The more I think about bananas, what do we think is happening? I think it's going to get 10 times better. That's what's going to happen. It's going to get 10 times better. That's my version of the cyclical nature of God's plan for us. You think it's good? Watch this. You think that's the best you can have? Watch this. Eternal Father, eternal children, eternal journey. And I suppose even there we got to get used to the cyclical nature of things. At this point, I am reminded of the last page in the 12 and 12 when Bill says, these little studies come to a close. Does anybody remember that? It's right near the last thing. He's been going on that 12th step for about 20 pages. And he finally says, these little studies now come to a close. And we read the 12 and 12 at one of our studies. We have a big book study, 12 and 12 study. And whenever we get to that page, I go, oh. And then I go, yeah, but what happens when this comes to a close? We go back to step one, and we start all over again. And I go, yay! So I go, ooh. So this weekend is coming to a close. And a lot of things have happened. I think God's world has, just because of the setting, has been revealed to us. And we're saying it can't get any better than this. This is it. But we know it's going to get better. But how does it get better? By getting worse and then better. In other words, this is it. The high can't stay. And so we're going to go to a different level, and then we'll seek even harder, and it'll go to a higher level. And that's how we'll continue. And pretty soon we'll ignore the down cycle. We'll just accept it. Oh, yeah. In order to have the pleasure of breathing out, I have to breathe in and then experience another cycle. And I don't want to see it end, but I know it's going to begin again. So the one thing that I think we've left out, now that we've gotten a glimpse and the great reality is becoming more real, and we're aware that our Creator is inside of us, what do you suppose would be the best way to communicate to our own Creator? To communicate. What would be a good way to communicate? Well, who do we suppose our Creator is? This is a hard thing to define. How could you define? We had a question, who am I? Well, who is God? How about that question? You think that could be answered? Yep. It's easy. That's the easiest question of the day. God and the universe are an absolute and complete mystery. That's the end of the story. The universe and God, which is everything, are an absolute and complete mystery. Now allow that to sink in. The problem with us, with the human ego, is, mystery, I'll figure it out. Now wait a minute. It's an absolute and complete mystery. Yeah, I know, but I'll figure it out. No, it's an absolute and complete mystery. Oh, can't be figured out. Right, it can't. Well, what am I supposed to do about it? What am I supposed to do about it? How about appreciate it? How about enjoy it? How about look at it? How about express some reaction to this mystery? If God were a composer and he composed the greatest symphony that anybody could listen to, and he assembled us all in the cosmic opera house for this symphony, and he wanted to know what we thought about his music, one thing he could do is wait for the show to get over and see if we stood up and applauded. But everybody stands up now at the end of the show, and they go, it's not a good way. It's not a good way of allowing the audience to communicate to you. A better way would be to get behind the stage, up above the curtain, with little binoculars so you can zero in on individual faces and watch their face as different parts of the music is played and see if there aren't tears and then smiles and then awe. Just, you can't communicate any better than that. That sends the ultimate message. Absolute awe. So here's this great mystery that's been prepared for us. How do we communicate back? I would suggest awe. I would suggest, wow, what's that? I do that every time these cosmic people discover something else. I just go, oh my God. And I'm sure God goes, you're right on, right on. Wow. That's it. Wow. I think that has to make the Creator pretty happy. I got three wows out of him today. Three wows. I'd say that's one of the best ways of communicating there is. I would say, if it's a wonderful universe, we should be full of wonder. That's it. Just. And so to capture that, I'm going to let you listen to something. And I think this is the best way to communicate with God that there is. If we do this for the rest of our lives, you're going to make God very, very happy. So let me just put something on.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, bright blessed days, dark sacred nights. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the skies, also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? Cry. I watch them grow. They learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself,
can't say it any better than that. Wonder where we'd find that in the big book. How about we absolutely insist on enjoying life? If I had to guess, when you knock on the gate and they open it, God's going to say, hey, did you enjoy the show? Wasn't that something? Did I put together a winner or not? Oh, you missed it? Too bad. How do we miss it? We make up our own show. And we go to that. It always has a crappy ending. And it's very lonely in that show. I'm the star. I'm the director. I'm the writer. I'm everything. God wants me to be nothing. And let him be everything. And then it's the greatest show on earth. It's been a pleasure having everybody here. I'll never forget it. I've just learned so much from your comments, questions, and your faces. They speak much better than you can. You can't improve on that. So let's hug each other. Let's tell each other we love each other. And we'll wrap it up. Thanks, John.